Well, good morning. It's good to see you folks. I even know you with your mask on. I want to read to you from Acts, the second chapter this morning, beginning in verse number 36. It's the great day of Pentecost. It's almost like the 4th of July. There's great excitement in the air. There was a mighty rushing wind. Men speaking in languages they had not known, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the people are just tremendously, tremendously excited. There's fervor and there's great preaching. And they come to a conclusion that they had been guilty of killing the Prince of Life, the Messiah, who was Jesus of Nazareth. Being pricked in their hearts, cut deeply, they cry out, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, spoke the word of God and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." Then the Bible says, "And with many other words, he persuaded them to save themselves from this wicked, ungodly generation." Now, what we see in the next few verses, what I want to spend a few brief moments this morning on, because we get a glimpse of the New Testament church in its infancy. And you'll see what they had done and what they did together. And there's just actually just four areas that I want to discuss that I think sometimes is foreign to the church today. So let's begin and look at our study for just a moment down in verse number 42. "And they continued steadfastly." Now, I'm a father that likes to understand what the writer's saying. And in the original language, the word here that is used really refers to being adhered to something, to persist in something. And your translation may say devoted. Of course, someone who persists in something is devoted or dedicated to that something. You know, sometimes you see people who are dedicated in certain things and they'll practice day after day after day. We might say in an urban kind of way, boy, they're just really into it. Now, the reason you see continued steadfastly is the word continued actually is there because of the Greek grammar, which is what, and you don't need to know this, but since I do, I'll tell you. It's in the imperfect tense, which means something that they continued. So they were continuing in something. They were dedicated and devoted to that. That's why you have in the King James language, they continued steadfastly. So this is something that they adhered to, they stuck to, they stayed in, they were dedicated in. This is something that you would see visibly what they were doing. So here's what we see. They continued in this steadfastly, number one, in the apostles' doctrine, secondly, in fellowship, thirdly, in breaking of bread, and then fourthly, in prayer or public prayer. Those are the four things that you see that the New Testament church devoted themselves to, continued in, and so I want us to think about what those four things are this morning. Now, notice in the first place, he says they were dedicated, they continued steadfastly, if you will, in the apostles' doctrine. Now, I know that most of us here understand who the apostles were, and so we're not going to get into that this morning. Except the important thing is, you remember that in Matthew 28, Jesus, as they were sending his apostles into the world, he said, "Go into the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Then in verse number 19, he says, "And teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." So what the apostles were taught and commanded to do, they were to teach others. Does that make sense so far? So when they came together, they were taught the word of God, and they continued in that. Now notice, not that they were just taught once, but they continued and were dedicated to the teaching of the Bible. Now I want to say something. There are many churches today that have left the whole business of biblical preaching. In fact, you could go to many churches today and not hear anything about the Word of God. And if those people out there in the media are listening to me, you need to be in a church where you hear biblical preaching. Because you need to understand that that doctrine matters. I'm trying to say that doctrine really matters. Paul had said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, in verse number 16, take heed unto thyself and the doctrine. By the way, the word doctrine just simply means teaching. So he is to take heed unto himself and the doctrine. In doing so, you shall save thyself and them that hear thee. Doctrine really matters. Really matters. I'll tell you what, that's foreign to many. You know, it surprises me somewhat that over in Hosea chapter 8, he speaks to the people of that day. He said, you're my people, but my word seems strange unto you. Isn't that rather startling that the word of God would be strange to the people of God? And yet today, you know, many times people have itching ears and they're hearing very little of the word of God. Would you say amen to that? So it's important to understand that doctrine really matters. And when they came and they assembled together, they came and they were taught of the Word of God. They had learned the Word of God. And by the way, you're not going to get that in the school system. You're not going to get it in many homes. And if the church is being what it's supposed to be doing, it will be teaching the Word of God. And we ought to be doctrinally oriented, and we need to understand that really matters. In 2 John 2 and 9, it says, if you do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, you have not God. Jesus said in John 8 to those who believed in him, that's what you're seeing in John 8, there are many who started to believe in Jesus, and he said, you are my disciples indeed if you remain, you stay in my word. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. It's so important to understand that. We hear so much about other things except the Word of God. It is important. Can I get that across as clearly as I can and as forcefully as I can? It is really important to be doctrinally oriented. Doctrine really matters. The younger generation needs to know that, and the older generation here needs to be reinforced on that very simple principle. We need to know what the Word of God says. In fact, in 1 Peter 4 and 11, it says, if any man speak, let him speak the Word of God. Isn't that strange? Secondly, they continued in fellowship. Now, on the surface, fellowship means simply coming together or being together. Now, I'm going to go a little deeper in a moment. Now, let me say this. I understand, because we're under the cloud of this COVID-19, there are people who cannot come. I understand that there are people who are providentially hindered in coming. I have spoke to many of our brethren who are so sick and so ill they can't go anywhere. So I understand. I mean, when Paul was in prison, he wasn't going to church. Amen? So I understand, you see, that there are those who cannot come at different times in their life. But I also understand there are many who do not want to have anything to do with coming to church. Let me speak to those. And I want to speak about those who are out in the hills being religious hermits for a moment. Can I do that? God never intended that we would isolate ourselves from the church. He never intended that. He created the church for a purpose. So the church is here because of the purpose of God. And by the way, it's my conviction that if the church disappears, it will not be too long for many that their religion disappears. We need to have fellowship. And by the way, do you understand, and I do, I'm not a real media person, but you know, I've been pushed into this Facebook business. I get people who want me to reply. I don't reply on purpose, because I know where that goes. So I'm not going to do it. So it's not that I don't like you. I get a lot of people that say nice things. Kathy keeps out the things that people don't say. So I'm glad. Don't get mad if I don't say something. But you're not going to get me into that, all right? But let me just say something else about this whole business about staying connected. You can stay connected through Facebook. I understand that. That's kind of a new technology that people have been doing for years. And you can stay in touch through the telephone and all the different media kind of things that you do. But it ain't the same with being with somebody. My boy lives clean out in Montana. I got a granddaughter, and we FaceTime. That's a kind of new thing for me, you know. I'm back in the space age. So we FaceTime, but I want you to understand it ain't the same. Do you understand? It ain't the same. And so when you talk about fellowship, you're talking about being together on the surface. And there's nothing like being together. You send cards, you get in the media, all that's fine, and it's all kind of interesting. But would you all agree with me? It ain't the same. Marsh and I have a fellowship. We're sharing our life together. Understand? So, on the surface, fellowship implies you're being together. Now, those guys are out on the hills being religious hermits who are under a pseudo self-righteousness. Let me just say something to them, and hopefully it says something to those with some humility. Think about when you isolate yourself from the church, you're not making any impact on any other people in the church. We are to encourage one another. We are to exhort one another. Think of the things that you could do to influence others for good. Now, you're saying, well, the church isn't perfect. I say, yes, that's true. There's never been a perfect church. You go back into the Bible, there wasn't one. In fact, I don't know anything that's perfect, do you? There's nothing perfect in this life. And if you think there is, you've been lying. So the church has never been perfect. But so that's not an excuse. And when you come, it's even more imperfect. So I'm trying to say is that's just a bunch of baloney. That's a Greek word. It is. And so you see, when you isolate yourself, just think of you just not using your ability and not using your talent, what you could have impacted and influenced others. So I spoke about two groups of people. There are those who cannot come. They're providentially hindered. It's maybe sickness or illness and this crazy cloud of COVID-19. But on the other hand, there are those you see have isolated them. The Bible never intended you to isolate yourself. In fact, the Bible says not forsaking the assembling as the manner of some is. Does that get a amen? So they were in fellowship. But let's go a little bit deeper. Now, it's always interesting to me when we talk about fellowship. In other words, if you belong to a hunting club, or you guys are going on some hunting adventure, what do you talk about? Isn't it amazing to you that if you are believers in God, you remember Jesus says you speak out of the abundance of the heart. You speak what's in your heart. Isn't that true? So if you got a bunch of guys hunting, they're going to talk about moose hunting, elk hunting. You go over here, I'll go over there. I'll drive them out. You wait for them to come down the path. Don't you think it's rather strange and kind of odd if you get Christian people together and they never talk about God? Well, we're not going to talk about God. That seems really weird to me. Does it to you? Wouldn't you think that the normal thing that Christians are going to talk about is about the Lord, is about His Word, about redemption, about eternal life, about how the Lord's blessed them? Doesn't that make sense to you? It does to me. And so when I thought about this, you see, fellowship just is not merely coming together, but it's doing something together. We're going to see in a moment some of the things they did together. But you understand that when you have fellowship, you're together. I mean, you can't have fellowship if you're not together in the first place. Because the word fellowship means you're sharing in something together, you're doing something together, you're participating in something together. That's why in the negative in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, the Bible says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Don't you get yourself involved in that. Don't do what they're doing. I'll tell you what, if you go rob a bank with somebody, you were in fellowship with them. That's a nice way to say it, isn't it? I'd say you're stupid too. So that's what fellowship is. So when you go a little bit deeper, it means that you are participating, your partners with. If you're in business and you have a partner or you're participating in that business, you are in fellowship with. And by the way, you guys who work for somebody, you are participating in that also. That's what fellowship is. Now, in the third place, you'll notice, that, look here. They adhered to and they continued in. When they came together, they were taught the Word of God. They were taught what the apostles were taught. The apostles taught what Jesus had taught and commanded them to do. And they were teaching the folks when they came to church biblical teaching. And then secondly, they were in fellowship. They came together. And we'll see in a moment what they participated in. The third thing it says is, listen to me for a moment. They continued, here's the literal meaning of this. They continued steadfastly, they were dedicated and adhered to the breaking. There's an article in the breaking and the bread. Isn't that interesting? The breaking of the bread. Now, when I say go get the book, you know I'm asking about a certain book, right? So it's specific. So they were engaged. And by the way, as you can see here in the context, that is public worship. I mean, because you're going to see, not only do they continue in the breaking of the bread, and he's not talking about them coming together for lunch. He's not saying that the church came together for dinner. Or the church is having a fellowship on Friday night and we're having fish. That's not what he's saying. It is in the context of worship. And by the way, we notice in Acts chapter 20 and verse, these are fundamental things, brothers. These are things that we ought to know. We ought to have known them long ago. We shouldn't have any misunderstanding about it. Even though the church today has become so consumer-oriented, that's lost its place, have left out these very vital, fundamental four things that we ought to be doing every time that we come together to worship God, to be taught the Word of God, and we be in fellowship. And when we're in fellowship, we participate, whether we're singing together or praying together. And by the way, I'm going to get down to this. I'll let that go for a moment. But here, number three, because I got to move along real quickly. The breaking of the bread. In Acts chapter 20, you recall that Paul was at Troas. He waited several days. He wanted to get out of there. He wanted to get back to Jerusalem for the Pentecost. He was in a hurry. Nevertheless, he knew that the disciples came together on the first day of the week, the Bible says, to break bread. Now, you understand that he's talking about the Lord's Supper. You understand that, in fact, we go to 1 Corinthians 11, which really just says the same thing in Matthew 26, that when the church at Corinth came together, they were taking the Lord's Supper, reminded of this. Jesus said, you do this in remembrance of me. Now, that was the act of worship. In other words, in this verse, when we talk about the breaking of the bread, they came together and they had fellowship and they worshiped God. And at the very core and center of their worship was the Lord's Supper. And it wasn't just a do an act, but it was remember, when you do this in remembrance of me. And so when you take the Lord's Supper, you remember exactly what Jesus did for you. You were lost, he died on the cross, and because he died on the cross, you have received the remission of sins and the gift of eternal life from the Holy Spirit. And yet, think about this. I want to stress this. They adhered to this. They continued steadfastly in this. They were dedicated to this. And you can't do that once a year or twice a year or every other month. When they came together, this is what they did. They adhered to that. They stuck with it. They remained in it. They continued in it. They were devoted to it. You know, every time you see somebody devoted to something, you guys know some folks that are devoted to something. You say, man, he's really into it. I mean, he's up every morning, 5 o'clock, running like the wind. You won't find me there, but you know someone who does. And you see people who are dedicated to different kinds of things, dedicated to the careers, dedicated to music, dedicated to this or that. These folks were dedicated and consistently worshiping God, and at the very core of that was the Lord's Supper. Nevertheless, so many churches today do not find it convenient and do it when they want to. That's not being dedicated. I'll tell you what, if I just exercise once a month, you wouldn't say I'm dedicated to it, would you? Hello? Now, I might be dedicated to eating donuts because you say, man, that guy eats donuts every day. I'm just trying to make it simple and plain so you understand. They were dedicated. They adhered to this. And my only thing to say about that, we need to understand exactly why they did it. Now, the fourth thing they did when they came together, and this is not auxiliaries. Hey, Listen to me. These are not auxiliaries. These aren't something just attached to something. These people were dedicated. They came together. They didn't do it privately. And by the way, I was reading something that seemed rather interesting to me. I'll just throw it in right now because I want to. Okay? So back in the a long time ago or a while ago, the London Times put out a question that what's wrong with the church today? And they were offering a prize for the person who could write the best essay on what was wrong with the church today. Now you may come up with a list. Top of my list today in a modern America would be we're being too consumer-friendly, we forgot the Lord in this whole business. But I thought the guy from Wales, there was a preacher from Wales, note that, it was a preacher who won the prize, and here's what he said. He said, you know, here's the answer to what's wrong with the church today. And here's what he said. He said, what's wrong with the church today? Now listen to me. What's wrong with the church today is the failure to realize the wonder and the beauty and the mystery and the glory and the greatness of the church. Would that be at your list? There's no other body like the church. There's no other body that is great as the church. People who have been ransomed, people who have been redeemed, people who are on the journey to eternity, those who seek honor, glory, and eternal life. There is no other group in the United States on the planet Earth that is like the Church of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we fail in our criticism and our skepticism, the greatness and the majesty of the church. And we ought to ponder deeply that. So they continued steadfastly. They were attached to the apostles' teaching. They continued in fellowship. They came together and they were engaged in the activities of the church. And they came together and worshiped the breaking of the bread. You ought to think about if you just slip in and slide out every once in a while, you ain't dedicated. That's not dedication. And then fourthly, they can notice the connection. The breaking of the bread and prayer. Now he's referring to, of course, corporate or congregational public prayer. And let me challenge you. I've always advised the eldership and others that were involved in the worship, do not use a man in public prayer that never comes. I don't want him leading us in prayer. There's tremendous responsibility when you're leading the church in prayer. And we ought to think, if that's our assignment, that we ought to be thinking about not just your own personal prayer in public prayer, but you ought to be thinking about leading the congregation in prayer, just like Richard leads us in singing together. We ought to give it some deep thought. And we ought to be thinking about what do we really need to pray about in the church as we lead others in public prayer. Four essential, vital things. Now notice, I want to say this. When the Bible says, and they continued, who were the they? It were those who responded to the gospel. There were those, you see, who were baptized for the remission of their sins. There were those who were persuaded to save themselves from the wicked world in which they lived. And then the Bible says in verse 47, "And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved." And that's the only way you get in. If the Lord don't add you, you ain't saved. And the Lord doesn't add anybody to the church who isn't saved. You got to be saved to get added to it. And it is the Lord who added to the church. It is the Lord who added those by faith and repentance and baptism. It was those people he added to the church. And then the church stayed connected. They didn't all wander off along their own ways, to the hillside, to the mountaintop. But they came together. They stayed connected. They realized without the church, that's the soil and the framework of spiritual growth, they understood that they had a common bond and they understood they needed one another. It was in the framework of fellowship that they grew and grow closer to themselves and in fellowship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see the importance? They continued, and the Lord added those to the church, such as be saved. Now, if you're out there, we generally here offer an invitation. But if you're out there, let me just, and I mean out there, I don't mean way out there, but I mean out there in wherever we're at out there. I guess that's Facebook this morning. I let me just say this. I know we've thanked Kathy a number of times for putting us on Facebook, but we are actually reaching over 1,000 people a week. I think it's a week. I think it's 1,200, 1,300. There are people who listen to us who we don't know. And so I want to say to those people that we don't know, if you're not in a biblical church, a New Testament church, and you haven't done the things that God has told you to do, we certainly want to invite you. If you don't want to come until this COVID-19 is over, or if you want to get in touch, there are some people that will answer you on Facebook. But if you're out there, I want to encourage you, challenge you to take serious about your relationship to God and get back to what the Bible says. And that's the only way I know that we can be right with God.